Chapter 31. The Mount of Transfiguration. And thou, O Tower of the Flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Micah. October 1881. The letter of withdrawal fell like a bomb on the stunned membership. Mrs. Eddy made no reply, but sat in silence. The 20 members who were present drew up the following resolution and voted to send it to each dissenter: that your unchristian communication of October 21st, 81, renders you liable to church discipline, as you have broken our covenant, in that you went not to the individual whom you abused, to tell her that you had aught against her, that you had assumed the appearance of full fellowship with her, you are liable to expulsion. You are hereby notified to appear before the Church of Christ Scientist on Monday, October 31st at 5 p.m. to answer for your unjust proceedings. Mrs. Eddy withdrew from the meeting, and the others quietly dispersed, all but two. There were two new students who remained with their teacher and her husband. They were Mrs. Abby K. Whiting and Mr. Calvin A. Fry. Their names, together with that of Asa Gilbert Eddy, will be remembered as long as time lasts. When Jesus went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, he had three faithful disciples with him. Now, more than 1,800 years later, three loyal disciples were watching with our leader all that long night, burdened and sorrowful. Mrs. Eddy was ascending the mount in their presence, and like Jesus, she was transfigured before them. As morning dawned, she suddenly arose from her chair and stepped out into the room. Her eyes beheld what her students could not see, and she began to speak, but not to them. Her face shone, and her words were so stirring that her students wept, but they picked up pencils and endeavored to record some of her words. Is this humiliation, the humility the oppressor would heap upon me? Oh, the exaltation of spirit! I have made thee ruler over many things, height upon height, holiness, unquenchable light, divine being, the womanhood of God. Well done, good and faithful! Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. One woe is past, and behold, another cometh quickly, and no sign shall be given thee. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Woe, woe unto my people! The furnace is heated, the dross will be destroyed, and the false prophet that is among you shall deceive, if possible, the very elect, and he shall lead them into forbidden paths, and their feet shall bleed upon the jagged rocks, and the briars shall tear the rags from them, for they are not clothed with a garment of righteousness. And I will give to thee, daughter of Zion, a new heritage and a new people. Her ways shall be ways of pleasantness and ways of peace. Oh, blessed daughter of Zion, I am with thee, and none shall take my words out of thy lips. Thou art my chosen to bear my truth to the nations, and I will not suffer another messenger to go before thee. And this Absalom shall perish, and this backsliding Israel shall eat the bread of bitterness. And I will lift thee up, O daughter of Zion, and I will make of thee a new nation for thy praise. Get thee up, depart, depart. This people are a stiff-necked people. When our leader stopped speaking, she put down her hand and said, "Why, I haven't any body." It was at this point that Julia Bartlett, who had been absent the night before, arrived at 8 Broad Street. She wrote, "I was in Salem at the time and could not attend the meeting. But the next morning, on hearing what had transpired, I took the first train for Lynn, desiring to be with my dear teacher and to be of some service in her hour of trial. Dr. Eddy admitted me to the house. I found Mrs. Eddy seated by the table and the two students who had spent the night with her sitting near. I quietly took a seat near them, as did Dr. Eddy also, and listened to Mrs. Eddy, who was talking with a power such as I had never heard before. They were wonderful words she was speaking, while we young students were receiving of the great spiritual illumination which had come through her glorious triumph over evil. When she was through, she said, "I want you three to stay with me 3 days." She said she did not know what might be, but felt there would be a great deal for us. Those 3 days were wonderful. It was as if God was talking to her, and she would come to us and tell us the wonderful revelations that came. We were on the mount. We felt that we must take the shoes from off our feet, that we were standing on holy ground. What came to me at that time will never leave me." The students who were with Mrs. Eddy during her trial and transfiguration had much to ponder. Was not her experience like that of St. John, who on this plane of existence beheld spiritual reality, a new heaven and a new earth? And was not her countenance radiant, as had been those of Moses and Jesus, in spiritual exaltation? What is the meaning of her words, "Why, I haven't any body"? To the students with her, she had a body that they could see. It may be that they could not have felt her body had they tried. In a translation from the Greek of the Acts of John, accredited to his student, Lucius, we find, quote, "Sometimes when I would lay hold of him, Jesus, I met with a material and solid body. And at other times, again, when I felt him, the substance was immaterial, and as if it existed not at all." End quote. The solution to life's problem, including the belief of a mortal body, is what Mrs. Eddy was working out for herself, as well as for all mankind. In the first edition of Science and Health, she had written, "Belief produces the results of belief, and the penalty it affixes will be as positive as the belief that causes it. Therefore, our remedy lies in reaching the bottom of the thing, in finding out the error or mind that produces the discord we see on the body, and not to honor it with the title of law, and then yield obedience to it. The remedial part of this sentence she changed in the second edition to read, "Therefore, our remedy lies in reaching to the bottom of the thing, in finding out the error in mortal mind that produces the discord of mortal body." In the third edition, she had changed it further to read, "Our remedy lies in reaching to the bottom of the thing, in finding out the error of belief that produces a mortal body." The moment of Mrs. Eddy's exaltation was not time for experimentation or inquiry by her students. But let us now state that situation in the form of a syllogism. Major premise, quote, "To be on communicable terms with spirit, persons must be free from organic bodies." Science and Health, page 74, line 3. Minor premise. On October 27, 1881, the person known as Mary Baker Eddy was on communicable terms with spirit. Conclusion. Therefore, on October 27, 1881, Mary Baker Eddy was free from an organic body. Consequently, her statement, "Why, I haven't any body." The names of the three students who were with their teacher when she was free from an organic body, the names Asa Gilbert Eddy, Abby K. Whiting, and Calvin A. Fry, are destined to become as familiar to posterity as are those of Peter, James, and John, who witnessed their teacher's spiritual exaltation, albeit the 19th century record is no more detailed than the biblical account. Nevertheless, all Christendom will be grateful for the record they did leave of their teacher's transfiguration on the Mount. And wherever this story is told, the name of Julia S. Bartlett, who shared in the afterglow, will not be left out.